All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
Welcome to the Wheel Intake. I'm here.
I'm Scott.
Nick. Four. This is episode four now. Yeah, we did it.
Yeah. So I feel like we've kind of gotten into a routine to the point where I would say that this is sustainable. We can do this.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we've gotten this far, so.
happy Wednesday. Welcome back. So let's mention a few things, and then we'll kind of dive into the subject of our podcast.
Okay. What do you want to start with? Yeah, we mentioned last week that Fitment Industries is doing one now. We also touched upon ours that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But today is actually the last day for Fitment Industries, right? They said the end of the month. Today is the end of the month. So if you haven't done it, they can still do it today, right? Today's the last day they can sign up. I like the shirt. I looked it up before. Or is it? I put a photo up in the last podcast. I'll put another one here somewhere. Yeah. Here. Right. But yeah, the design is actually really cool. I love what they did with that. So.
So look at one of those shirts and go to pause, and it automatically enters you in. Let's talk about our next real giveaway.
Ours?
Yeah, so this is probably going to be, no, this will be the first time that we have publicly mentioned it in its entirety and its live. That means you can go do this right now. Absolutely right now. All you have to do.
I was just about to say, what do they need to do?
Go to coningwheels.com/subscribe.
Okay. What are they subscribing to?
So when you go there, that is a sign up for our email list.
Okay.
And when you go onto our email list. Listen, we're not gonna send you things about, you know, buy our wheel. We have the email list to bring added value. We've said this a few times in the past. We're gonna send you things, maybe deals from our customers, but for the most part, it's gonna be content that we produce.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, we're gonna send you things that, you know, are cool. They're not gonna be well-fitting, and you know, when we do release the wheel, you'll be the first one to hear about it. So that's what our plan is to do with the email list. To this date, we really have not sent even one. So hopefully it will be soon. But basically, go subscribe to our newsletter at coningwheels.com/subscribe.
Okay.
And then also subscribe to our
YouTube channel.
We're trying to do something here, you know what I mean? So go to our YouTube channel.
I mean we're starting to post frequently enough, so it's worth being subscribed to the channel. I mean, last week you found out someone else was giving wheels away. This week you find out that we're giving wheels away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so we're not gonna always be doing giveaways, but we're gonna be doing some cool stuff, you know. That is subscribed to both. Correct? Okay.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the elephant that happens in every single time we do one of these events. And that's, can you ship all over the world?
Where are we limited to?
Like, United States and Canada.
Okay.
All right. Listen, I feel terrible for you know, all our homies in Europe and around the world and in Indonesia and in Africa. Like, and it's honestly seriously humbling that we get messages from guys all over the world, and we wish that we could do it. Unfortunately, the logistics
It's ridiculous.
And then kind of there's duties and customs and things that do not happen for some of our dealers that might be in those parts of the world.
Uh-huh.
That bring product in and stock product in those areas. So, I'm sorry. I apologize. You know.
Limiting it to Northern America?
Well,
technically.
Not Mexico. Yeah.
Oh, except Mexico. No.
But it's not because of
damn.
There's no reason.
It's just a pain in the ass to ship there.
Canada and the US is what it will be open to. So if you subscribe to our YouTube channel and to our email list, you will be entered to possibly win a set of wheels from our little giveaway here.
Of their choosing.
Sure.
Nice.
I mean, it's fine. But yeah.
That's insane. Okay.
All right. We spoke about the fact that we were thinking about doing a car project, a Koenig car project build. And we said we were going to ask for your opinion on it. And that's what we're doing.
Is this the part where we tell them about the car? Nice. I bought a car, yeah. Dude, tell them? All right. It is a 1992 Yunos Roadster. That is the Mazda MX-5 Miata, but the Japanese version. So it's a right-hand drive vehicle. It was imported from Japan. It landed here, I think, in May, it says on the title. It was registered in May, so it's only been here a couple months, and I managed to buy it, like, 3 blocks from my house, which is, like, a crazy coincidence. Like, that's pretty fair. I mean, it needs a couple things. It could definitely use a respray on the entire body. So I already got rear-ended in it. I had it for a week, and somebody rear-ended me and cracked the finish panel. I made him pay for it. So the expense of the finish panel was covered. I got a new finish panel. It needs to be painted. But you know, the whole, like, everything needs to be painted. Aside from that, the car is very clean. The engine is very clean. There's no rust. Yeah, the fenders are pretty affordable. It's just, yeah, it's I'll probably just slap a new fender on it and call it a day.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense, yeah. At most, I would say like 3. I think 3 is a pretty fair, you know, because like we've been tossing some ideas around and I've been thinking about it a little bit, what I want to do. And like, I want to do stuff to it, but I also want it to be a car that I can drive every day, I can bring to work. It's like, it's not extremely overdone. It's not too uncomfortable, you know, so, and I also, like, I want to bring it to the track. Right. I want to take it to the track and I want to be able to have fun out there. Yeah, we'll do some autocrossing on it. And, you know, but, you know, best of both worlds. Like, I don't want to build a full-on track car that it's like, all right, now I can't drive this on the street every day. But at the same time, you know, I'll have some fun with it.
Yeah, we had a conversation that went from, I mean, we had a zero to hell, which is 2024. Like, one and then we'll put floors on it, and then he was like, all right, but hold on, I want to drive it.
Yeah. Like, I'm all for doing these things, and they sound great. But, you know, it is nice to drive it to work and go to meets and, you know, all the fun stuff you do with a car.
But I want to stop people that are about to say, oh, that's crap, you can do that stuff. We live in New York.
Yeah. If you've never been on the Belt Parkway, don't understand. Every single day, yeah. Even that is kind of sketchy, but still.
It gets more difficult when these cars start having things like, you know, flares and really thick suspension and different things. it makes it very difficult. The roads that we deal with in the Northeast are up there on the list of the hardest in the country.
Yeah. And not only that, but also, like the purpose of this car was I wanted, like, a cool JDM car and to drive, yeah.
Right.
You know, what's the point of having a car if you can't drive it every single day and, like, take it out, you know? So I thought this was, like, the perfect platform as opposed to getting, like, a key car or something like that, or, like, an old JDM truck or something, or a ute, because, like, you can't do much with those. I thought about it. I was looking at them and I was like, nah, I want something that I'll get a lot of use out of. And this is like, I already drive this thing practically every day, unless it's like pouring rain or I like need to bring equipment for the podcast. Yeah.
Should we do kind of cover this world and put it out for you to make little videos and do you think that would be cool? And if so, kind of what do you think the build would look like to do in between? And what we mean by that is we talked about just doing kind of like a very budget, you know, rotor pad, you know, aggressive stuff for like for the track.
Yeah.
Rotor pad replacement, maybe a brake kit, but
we're definitely doing suspension 100%. It's I'm gonna put a couple photos of the car up. This car is completely stock. It is, and I'm very surprised because almost all the other ones that he brought in had some type of work to it. Yeah, so this car is completely stock suspension, stock wheels, original wheels actually, which I'm very happy about that. Yeah, the daisies that came with little Unos badges on it. Everything is bone stock. So, you know, there's a couple, you know, it needs a couple things, you know, to not only be more fun and look cooler, but to drive better.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, I guess it's.
Yeah. Let's not to think we're thinking about at least for the short term, doing a very, you know, budget-friendly build with no crazy swaps or parts or anything like that, but get the car to handle, drive better, and just see if you can get it to an auto course. If you'd like to see that, let us know what you think, and then let us know maybe what you think maybe phase two would be. You know, we picked it around, man, that came me out of stuff. So maybe a K24 swap in the future, maybe it's upset a lot of hardcore diehards.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. A lot of Miata guys actually really like those K motors. Honestly, you could put anything in that car. But anyways, moving on. That's what we have. We'll probably do a couple of polls. Maybe we'll do a couple of Instagram polls saying, you know, next time for promoting this podcast, we'll put, hey, we have a project car, and what do you guys think we should do with it? Put a couple of polls, see what they think. Yeah, and do it fast because I need brakes.
All right, so now we're going to do the main subject of today's podcast, and that's sponsorships.
Ooh, this is.
I put the thing on Instagram and I was cringing.
How many responses did we get? We got a lot of responses on there.
And so, I just put it on IG story, so if you don't follow us on Instagram, make sure you check it out. I put a video of that. On top of that, make sure you share a story once in a while. We put some things there. So, one of the things we did was we asked, hey, you know, what kind of questions do you want to know about sponsorship? And then at the bottom, I said, put yes, don't ask for one. And I would say,
yeah. Well, I mean, what do you expect when you post something like that on Instagram? But I mean, before we get into that, let's talk about it. I mean, what is a Koenig sponsorship? I mean, I'm sure there's different levels to it. I'm sure, you know. Well, I'm not sure. You explain to me. How does this work?
I'll try to be brief on some of this stuff. I really thought that we could use some stuff by just talking about sponsorship in general, because we get so many questions about sponsorship all the time. And on top of that, I think so many people just don't understand sponsorships. And my biggest fear with doing a podcast like this is that we were just going to take too much time.
Yeah.
Because there's too much to sponsorship. So what we'll do today is we'll try to really outline it. And if there's a lot of questions or if there's a lot of comments.
Sponsorships part two.
Yeah, right. We'll deep dive, right?
Yeah.
So Koenig sponsorship, just talking about Koenig stuff, we have multiple levels of sponsorship. We are not rigid enough that we have, like, these super definitive things. We do deal with a lot of them on a case-by-case basis. But for the most part, you know, when you get into sponsorship, you're talking about different levels. One, obviously, is full product support, and the other one would be, like, partial sponsorship. So it's kind of like a discount, but not really. Because a discount, and some companies do this, I'm not sure if it's just companies, but some companies do this, they actually use it as a method for sales. So they do a partial sponsorship knowing that their 50% off of MSRP translates to above or slightly below what their actual retail value is, and then they're kind of making money, they're making all the profit with no middleman. That's not why we do partial sponsorships. In fact, we have a very specific number of potential sponsorships that we can do each year.
So how does a partial sponsorship work exactly?
A partial sponsorship is like in exchange for certain items. And let's be very broad here, but let's use an example of sending in high resolution images of your vehicle with product on it.
Okay.
Keeping us updated by tagging us socially so we can see what you're doing and we can share some of your images as the year goes on.
Almost kind of like having an affiliate. Kind of, or now.
And running the logos on the car, we may say, in exchange for that, for 1 year, we'll give you this price on these wheels. The difference between selling them, though, is the prices that we give for that product is, I mean, you can never, ever even close to buy it for retail. It's not made for sales. It's meant for the idea that you're helping us with marketing. You're an ambassador for us.
Gotcha.
Right? And the reason we limit the number of them so much is because we have on average 500 sponsorship requests.
A day, no.
let's say we have an easy 300 per week.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
That is a lot, damn. And this is just people emailing in saying, hey, like, can you sponsor my car?
And so we'll get things on Instagram, you know, DMs, we'll get comments, we'll get
I've actually noticed that some people will be like, hey, like, I have this car, and like, I briefly read through it, you know, I don't handle that stuff, I'm just posting media, but I have come across some of those comments or messages of people asking, like, hey, like, my car's in this, and this. You know, how do I get a sponsorship? So what will qualify somebody to get a sponsorship, and what is the best way to go about it?
Okay, so those are big questions, and they're not always going to be a universal answer. So I'm going to try to give the most universal answer I can.
Okay.
To cover it.
Because like it varies per person, I imagine, and situations and.
Socially, but maybe within a community, or maybe they're, you know, I see a team or a guy that's really putting all his effort into something, and I'm like, this is exactly what we should be embracing.
Yeah.
You reach out to them with a sponsorship. You know what
I mean?
So not every sponsorship is
somebody messaging you. Right. You know, sometimes you see somebody and you're like, hey, look, I love what you're doing. Yeah. Here's some wheels, sponsorship. Just, you know,
right.
Shout us out, put a sticker, etc. Okay.
We do not sponsor, payment supporting other things. We don't sponsor. We sponsor people that have cars.
Individuals.
Well, yeah, we may sponsor. We may even work with companies to do projects and stuff. But what I'm saying is, we don't do any of the, you know, I have an Instagram page or a Facebook page, and I put up a whole bunch of images of all these other people's cars. If you have a set of wheels, I'll just promote your product. And like, I don't do that.
Okay.
Okay. We sponsor people that have cars, or
the direct owner of the car.
Or something that would benefit the sport or a community in a way. For example,
right. Right. But if let's say, all right, a content creator, like if I had X amount of followers, I do a lot of, you know, car videos and I record, you know, everyone else's cars. And I came to you with a car. Yeah, it wasn't my car. And I was like, hey, like, can you do this for this other car that, like, I'm planning to shoot or I'm looking to shoot, whatever. Well, the point I was trying to get at was, it's not my car. It's not something I was regularly going to, like, there won't be much exposure of it. Like, it's a one-time project, and then I'm moving on to the next project because I'm constantly dealing with.
Probably not, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask. I mean, you never know. Most of the time, like, if we help out, and you've seen it, like, we've done these for Bill as far as YouTube goes. We've helped out a lot of different YouTubers in some capacity. But when we do those types of projects and with those people, generally we're trying to make a long-term connection with them.
Right.
Right? They're doing this build, and there's going to be multiple pieces to this build, but then we'll be there to help them with other builds that they'll do. And so we try to look at it from that respect.
That's a good way to look at things.
Yeah. So we're really into building relationships, right?
Right.
So that's a big part. So let's go back to the everyday person. Let's go back to the person that will... represents the majority of the people that apply for sponsorship with us.
Okay.
First thing is, you have to have a car that's in the realm, okay? Listen.
But what do you mean by in the realm?
We get a lot of requests from people that are just starting out, right?
Okay.
They haven't proven anything. They don't really have a plan yet.
They, like, so...
The goal's not really anywhere yet.
Yeah. They're projecting that they want to do this. You pretty much,
you
like...
Hey,
Koenig, sponsor us. Like,
you probably won't find too much back on that, right? Like, there's nothing there.
So a good candidate would be somebody that has a good track record in building cars.
Or has a car that's fairly long, like, you know, it's a decent looking car. It already has.
And is moving on to, like, the next stage in it. Right.
And so, listen, let's break down what sponsorship essentially is. Sponsorship is essentially product or partial on a product in exchange for exposure.
Right.
There's got to be a return on investment, an ROI, to what a sponsorship is. And
to make it worth it for us, essentially.
Well, companies justify doing sponsorships, and I'm going to take this thing well off the Koenig page here. They justify doing sponsorships based off of the product that they give out. They're giving you a product or giving you a deal on product, and they're not capturing the full sale that they would have gotten with that product. Right? Like, you're not selling to a retailer and getting how much it would really cost. You're giving a deal on the product. So,
right.
So the idea is that whatever product you're giving out, you're getting the exposure value back that would probably well exceed that product.
Right. In getting more sales,
yeah,
in the end. Well,
that's the idea. And companies, you know, like, we do plenty of sponsorships that I don't want to say they're not goodwill sponsorships, but we do plenty of sponsorships that would be chalked up to doing it because it helps an industry, doing it because it helps a segment of the sport, doing it because it helps a team. You know, we do some stuff with U.S. Drift where they do four, right, I think right now there are four or five shootouts per year, where they essentially, you know, right now, if you were going to try to go from being a pro-am drifter to pro 2,
mm-hmm.
you would have to compete in a whole series, a whole pro-am series that he's in that has the ability, usually the top three people for the whole season would win a Pro 2 license. But if you're a pro-am drifter and you go to one of the U.S. Drift Associated...
They have a program to... It's like a program to go through.
Series, but they also throw four events in conjunction with, I think, U.S. Drift, MGU, I know, Vegas Drift, U.S. MGU, and I think Sonoma Drift is in there in some capacity. But basically, it's only shootout events. And if you win the shootout event, I think the top three, just for that one event, that one day, they earn a Pro 2 license to compete in the Pro 2 the following year.
That's pretty cool.
It is really cool.
They're just starting this, or how long has it been around for?
I think there's a couple of shootouts last year, and then they've done events like this in the past before. But this year, they kind of figured out four or five events. And so we said, hey, look, this is they already planned their event. This wasn't that. We said, we'd like to help out, too, and kind of sweeten the pot. So the first place winner of
gets wheels.
The shootout event, we give a Koenig sponsorship for their Pro 2 season.
Nice.
Right? So sometimes you do stuff like that just because it's cool, right?
That is pretty cool.
It is cool. And we'll get exposure if they decide to go that route and go into Pro 2. So there's some value back there, but
right.
It's a cool thing to do. Why not? Right? Why not make it a cool event that supports drifting even cooler? So, right? But, you know, listen, have an exposure plan. Figure out a way to be able to give all these people back and going to the local mall, you know, once a week at cars and coffee or whatever it's going to be, it's not a exposure plan.
That's, yeah. And
you may do this, but it can't be, you know, we get a lot of them. And there's a lot of great, awesome looking builds out there. I know there's a couple guys that have tagged, you know, Koenig, and I checked out their build, and really nice. I saw a really nice V33 the other day, and they're great looking cars, and they may even have some sort of following. But that doesn't always mean that you're a great candidate for sponsorship, because
you don't get, you don't go out and get a lot of exposure, and you stay local to your meets and.
The one thing that I think people struggle with, and this goes back to the number of sponsorships that we have,
mm-hmm.
is that you're being compared, your sponsorship proposal is constantly being compared to other people that are sending in sponsorship proposals. Think about it. We only have, let's say, 100 that we're going to be able to give away. Then, out of those 100, and if we're getting, you know, 300 a week, you have to be the best of those.
Yeah.
Right? So, if you're sending in something, but and you have 2,000 followers on social media, and you don't do anything else, but then you got this other guy that's super active in autocross, and is, you know, like, let's say, number third in his region, and he also has a couple other, you know, he does some other things, and he does have a little YouTube channel, and he does have a little bit of social following, maybe not nearly as much as what you have, and he's a super nice guy, and he figured out a way to give us images and cool videos that we can use as the season goes on, and got a little feature, you know, with X3 Magazine. Like, all of a sudden, he gave us a value-added package.
Right. It wasn't just one thing. It was, like, all of these things built into one, where it's like, I get it.
Then all of a sudden, somebody will point the finger and say, how come you got a car that's sponsorship? And then I did my car is way better built than his. Maybe. But he's
got a full proposal. He's got way more exposure. He's got, you know, so it's not essentially about, well, it's not always about the car you build. It's about, you know, it's not always about just the following. It's about, you know, where your exposure can reach potentially, you know?
Yeah. And it also, I think it really shows, like, I think your heart and you being an enthusiast and you really being active in the sport is something that we really look for. And I think that when you see the right proposal, the right car, you see that coming through.
Yeah.
Right? I'll give you a good, for instance, there's a gentleman, and he's younger, I hate to call him a kid, it makes me feel really old, but his name is Jackie Ding, and if you don't know who Jackie Ding is.
From Good Life?
Yeah, well,
Autocross, that's one of the series.
He's an autocrosser, and a time attacker, and he's got an S2000.
Which I need to meet one day, but yeah, go on.
He's super cool, and you know what, we actually have some photos, and I think a little bit of content we might be able to put.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll put something together for Jackie Ding to kind of give him an intro to him. But yeah, he got some social following. Yes, he has a little YouTube channel. I don't want to say little, it's just something. But he's got, like, I think 12, 15,000 subs or something like that.
It's, it's a lot more than us right now.
But what I mean is, I didn't get with him because he had a YouTube channel. I didn't know he had a YouTube channel at the time we offered you a sponsorship with him.
Yeah.
He contacted us a couple of years ago and said, hey, like, you know, is there anything going on that was too good, like? And we said, you know, like, you know, keep it going. And we found a place to give him a deal on some product.
Nice.
Then the next year, he had sent us some images that first year. Like, hey, like, you know, here's some images. We want to use them. We shared them. He seemed to be keeping in contact with us a little bit, doing the right thing. The next year, we gave him a partial sponsorship. And it went really well. He sent in images. He's a really cool guy. What I liked about him is his story. He, I believe, went to the University of Michigan.
Okay.
So he's a college student. He tracks his stuff, and he's super aggressive. So seeing Jackie getting offended sometimes ends up being but there is nobody that has...
I need to meet him. Jackie, DM me. We're going to hang out. You can see the roadster. Sorry.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
He drives the car every day, right? From Michigan to Texas to the center of America, races the car, and then drives it home.
Yeah, I forgot what I was watching. I was watching something, and he was featuring it, and they were like, yeah, like, this is a daily car. He drove it here. I was like, what the fuck? Like, you look at the car, and you're just like, really? Like. Yeah, yeah.
There is nothing to me that I think quite says enthusiast.
Yeah, that's pretty unique.
You would never do something like that if you didn't just love it.
Yeah, because, like even now, I'm thinking about, like, shit, like, if... Like, one of the worries is if I go to the track and, like, something happens, like, fuck, how am I going to get the car home? I'm not going to tow it with my daily because it's definitely not strong enough for that, you know? But that, like, that, a lot of respect for that. I really, truly respect that. That's, like, one of the coolest things ever. That's, like, pure car enthusiasm.
I agree. So when we talk about, you know, where sponsorships go and how can you get sponsored, I think, listen, I think we should summarize this because I don't want to get – we could do this for hours.
We could.
It's not just about the following. It's not just about how much social following you have. It's not just about how great of a car you have. It's not just, it's a total package. And keep in mind that that total package includes the things that you're offering. You know, when somebody says, you know, I can make sure I constantly send high resolution images, make sure I tag you on social so you can share those images. I got some video that I do randomly. I'll send it to you so you guys can use it. I do have a little social thing. I am trying to do this whole thing and use it. Like, it's the package.
Right.
And then we compare those proposals and the build and the car and the person and your attitude. Like, if you want to build long-term relationships.
Right. You don't want to deal with someone that's just like, oh, like, give me wheels. Like, my car is great. And, you know.
And here's the thing. There's a time and place for that. It just may not be what we want to do. And that's, so we're just looking for real enthusiasts that are real passionate about the sport. They're trying to, you know, do some cool things. And so... Yeah, I don't know. I know that that's kind of really basic. I don't want to get too much into, you know, like, very, very specific. But, yeah, I mean, we do have full and partials, and a lot of people send full in, and it's about the package. It's about what you're bringing to the table. It's about the exposure plan. It's about the fact that you took the time to do it. I mean, people that send, you know, one-line emails in or a couple of, like, how do I get sponsorship and sponsorship to myself, right? Like,
so just respond to them with this video. Well, from now on. And are fully prepared to...
And know what they're getting into and asking for product. So keep that in mind. I don't know. I don't want to blow people off. But every proposal that comes in, even if it is just an email, we look at it and we try our best. But, you know, listen. If you send in an email, well, we're getting hundreds of them a week. when you send an email and you ask, you say a little bit about your car and you don't include pictures of it, and then you don't include your Instagram handle, and you don't include it any other way to get pictures, nothing there, how could we sponsor you? It's very difficult. So I would say take sponsorship seriously. Understand that what you're talking about is a commitment to the company that you're talking to. Make sure you give them as much information about you, your vehicle, how you're going to get them exposure, the plan, and anything that you think would be something you can provide value to them on. And I think if you do that, you're on a good page, you're on a good start to being in the realm of having a conversation. Because once you have a conversation with the company, now at least you know that you are in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think I answered that well?
I think you answered it pretty well. Just to kind of sum it up, pretty much, you need to be offering a package. You can't just, you know, have one award or, you know, a couple awards from a show. You want to – we're looking for exposure, you know. Yeah, it's not about how cool your car is. I mean, well, a little bit, but it's not about, you know, oh, my car is better than that other car that you guys sponsor. It's about – the return on investment for exposure in exchange for the product that we're providing to them.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's what I got away from what you're saying. So
that's,
I think that's pretty.
And even just one point you like thought of, it's not even just about, well, I'm well, you sponsored this racer and I'm way faster than him. All right, but
well, I wasn't talking about that. I was meaning some more.
It's not just about how I have a bigger following than the person you sponsor. It's not about It's not about those things. It's about total package, the way you present yourself, the way you come to the company, how your vehicle is. It's a total consideration of what you have to offer and kind of the tone that you're presenting yourself with.
Right.
Right? So I think we hit that part, right? Do you think we did it well enough that we started the conversation well enough to now talk about, oh, I know what we need to do. People will say, how do I send in a sponsorship proposal?
So how does that look? What is the best way to have a sponsorship proposal set up? Is it PDF? Is it all in the email? Is it, I mean, you said some people send in like a 7-page PDF.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, it can come in various ways. I think that the one point I'll go to the 7-page PDF with is that even if you don't have a 7-page PDF, the person that takes the time to, when they sit down and they spend hours upon hours making a 7-page PDF with a graphical and this and that and the other thing, and they're putting it, they have 7 pages worth of information of like, here's my best schedule. It's kind of like, I thought this out. I know what I'm asking
right.
for. Like, I'm trying to show you.
So that already kind of gets their foot halfway in the door.
Yeah,
kind of like.
And we've had other ones come in through email, and they're just, you know, a bunch of pictures of the car and a very, you know, a good outline of what it is. And it's enough that we can look at it and go, oh, we've got a lot going on here. And, you know, the item wise, I can get you images or whatever it is. It's enough that we can reach out to them and at least start that conversation.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people say, how do I send a sponsorship application in? Usually we'll start with a DM and you'll get a link back that says, like, coningwheels.com/sponsorship.
Oh, we have an actual application for it.
So it's not an application. It's a preliminary application. It is 100% not an application. It's there so we can get some basic information with you so we can try to find out
who they are
and what they're looking for.
Right.
And see if it's something we want to ask them questions about. Now, a lot of times what will happen is we'll see something that's interesting and we'll fire back and say, sounds good, feel free to send us your formal proposal. Other times we'll reply back and say, I'm sorry, right now you're not a fit for what we're doing, but keep in touch with us because things change. People change, cars change.
Right.
Right?
So even though they might not get any luck on the first time, it's, you know, there's still a chance for the second time or the third time, but also don't blow up our emails every week.
Listen, I mean, treat it like how you would want to be treated. And the truth is, we do our best. It's sometimes it can be, you know, we can be really backed up during certain parts of the season. It might take us a week to get back to you. And, you know, we do our best, and sometimes we miss some of them. But I would say, for the most part, we try very hard, and we understand it's a, we understand that, you care very much when you're applying for sponsorship, and we don't ever want to blow people off. So understand that, if it doesn't work the first time, keep building your program, keep improving, keep doing some things, and keep in touch with us. The best way to keep in touch with us is so easy, is on social. Try to get some pictures you put up. Like, show us what you're doing. Like, it's easy. It's
yeah, show us the build.
There's only a few of us that are answering the DMs and going into the comments and looking at things. So we kind of generally can see, we'll see it once in a while. Luis will say to me, "Hey, well, did you see this guy on Reddit?" And I'm like, "Yes, I saw him a month ago. He posted something up, and I have to see it." And if it's the right attitude and you approach us the right way, and there might be something there.
Nice.
Should we move on to some questions? Or?
I don't know. Is there anything else sponsorship-wise that you feel needs to be covered? I mean, we covered how to submit a proposal, what kind of car qualifies or the type of person that qualifies, what we're looking for, what will appeal to us more. I think that's pretty much it as far as sponsorship goes. There's a whole lot more little things, and we could also go in depth about all those little things, but a general outlook, I think we pretty much have it covered.
Yeah.
And people can always DM us or email us or comment if they have any more questions.
Yeah, and if you really find any of this interesting, or if there's any parts of the sponsorship application process, not just for us, I'm happy to, I've been doing this for 14 something years, I'm happy to go into depth on something if a number of people find one part to be interesting. And it doesn't have to be our company. So if you find something to be about sponsorship, you're not sure about how you approach it, this, that, the other thing, it doesn't have to be this industry, it could be something else, and you think that we can help you on it or insight onto the other side of the company, then comment on our YouTube channel or somewhere.
I remember one thing. I overheard a conversation about sponsorships, and one of the guys was like, he did a couple shows, he won a couple of awards, and he was trying so hard to get a sponsorship, and he kept calling and calling and calling, and but that's all he had. He had no social media coverage. He had no YouTube channel. Like there wasn't much exposure. He couldn't really offer much. He barely had any content and stuff like that. So I guess I feel like that is a pretty good example of you could be winning all of these awards and everything, but you can have a really good car and get some love for it in your local community. But what is the main ROI on it? Which he didn't really have much.
Yeah, and I think the thing to understand there is, it's not always just about one piece, it's the total package. And
my camera just stopped. All right. Let's get to some questions. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, I'll take a look at it. All right, let's see. All right, so the first question. What was our main question? It was, what do you want to know about sponsorships? All right, so let's see. Well, I forgot what the first initial question we asked the crowd was. All right, what should be expected of you when we get a sponsorship? So we just answered that pretty much. What's expected of you is, exposure. You got to have a good proposal package for us. You have to show us that it's worth it. You can't just have a cool car and be like, it would be really cool if Kona wheels were on that. It would be really cool if Kona wheels were on that. But, what kind of exposure is that going to get for us?
Yeah, and I also think about, being well-rounded, having a package, having some sort of offering. There's going to be plenty of people that are going to apply with, 20 and 30 and 40 and 50,000, followers on Instagram. But it doesn't mean that will earn you a sponsorship. And so, think about how you're approaching the company, and are they somebody that you'd want to have a long-term relationship with? I think if you come correct in that sense, you have to start.
Right, because at the end of the day, that's the goal, is to build a relationship. It's not just to give out a free set of wheels.
100%. If I know that somebody's
Pretty much. All right, let's see. What is the best way to get sponsorships in the automotive racing industry? I mean, we pretty much just answered that again.
The second thing I think you want to do is I think you want to do your best to start a conversation. You know, you live in the absolute most exciting and easiest time to reach people ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
it's so easy.
You can do, there's plenty of these companies where there are marketing directors and there's, people that work for the company and people that you know that already have sponsorships with those companies. Contact and message them, hey, what are you doing? How are you doing? Like, you could start relationships, and as relationships build and you kind of are doing the right thing anyway, you'll find that once you kind of crack into that circle of things get a little easier.
Yeah.
I'm not saying harass marketing directors. I'm not saying they're going to help you, but what I mean is for you to get visibility is easier than I've ever done before.
Yeah. Okay. This is a pretty good question. Does personal taste play a part at all in the decision process?
I want to say no, but the answer, I guess, at some point is yes, but nothing about levels of anything. There's plenty of cars that we talk to that I don't care for or like personally. And I guess I would say, for the most part, I have the majority final say on a lot of sponsorships. It doesn't matter to me what the car is. I think it's about the attitude, the package, like, are you, doing the right thing to your segment or whatever it may be, even if I don't like your car, I think it's fine. So I'd say a little bit, but not really.
Okay. This is a pretty good question. How do partnerships with YouTube personalities come to be?
Every single one of the partnerships we have with YouTube personality has come differently. Chris from Beast or Bill, he actually reached out to us on our off-road line when he had like 30,000 subs, and he was really young and getting going, and essentially we started a conversation. It didn't work out for the project we'd asked him for. He ended up finding another set of wheels. He bought a set of wheels first, and then we reached out to him later when he was working something else, and we just developed a really good working relationship together. So generally, people we've seen we really like what they do, we contacted them.
You just found them on YouTube.
We've been other times where we've had a YouTuber that was sponsored, and then they said, hey, listen, my other friend is a YouTuber or whatever it is, and he's got this thing going on, and we really respect the content creator game because we realize how much time and effort goes in.
Right.
It's not just about how many subs you have. It also comes into play, what type of person are you, what kind of channel are you doing,
what kind of work you're putting out, what kind of content are you creating?
What kind of content are you creating? What's your audience like? Are they spreading positive vibes in many capacities? So there's a lot of things there, but no, the answer is it's not one major thing. I would say if you want to take one thing away, have your stuff together, still put proposals together, don't just think that the number of subs you're following you have is going to automatically get your sponsorship, and try to, do your best to see how you can bring value.
Gotcha. This is a pretty good one. Attending more track events, car shows, more projects. Better chance of sponsorship?
Possibly. I know it's kind of like a broken record. It's the package, right? So you take that same package and you don't do anything else, and the answer is no, I don't think it helps your chances. You take that same package and say, I have some new content so far, resolution images, the car is really well built, I'm active in my car community, and help a lot of other racers or builders or other people out. Because you're a positive influence on that area, and all of a sudden you're also doing some other content or video stuff. That may easily turn into a good sponsorship.
Right. All right. I don't even know what this one means, so I'm just gonna skip past it. Why did you respond to this? You responded to this. What's that? You want me to read his DM?
Yeah.
Is it a good question? All right.
I must have if I have responded to the question, then I must have thought and wanted to make sure we got included.
Got it. All right. Tips on what gets someone to be sponsored. Must you be insta-famous and have quote-unquote clout, or whatever do you have to be a huge motorsports? What? Oh, to be a huge motorsports person who eats, breathes, and sleeps race cars.
Yeah. So the answer is no. You do not have to be insta-famous for Koenig, particularly to sponsor you. You don't have to have the biggest following in the world for Koenig to sponsor you.
Yeah, we're going to keep reiterating that.
It's going to be a total package. You have to be the right person to be able to have the right attitude. I would say the majority of the people that end up having full sponsorships with us started with a partial sponsorship. They did the right thing. They bought a cool package. They started with a partial sponsorship, and they spent the next year or two really showing that they can bring value. They do influence things positively, and they send us good flow, media flow, and they're building their base, whatever it is. And then it turns into a
yeah. So many people. Can I get a sponsorship? My channel's looking for a sponsor. Aren't we all? Yeah, that could be good. If I ever... brakes and suspension, that's tier one of stage one of the roadster build. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna answer this one. I feel like it's a little silly, but all right, so can a poor someone like me with a stock non-turbo Subaru get a sponsor? And I can see that he has an Impreza because his name says Impreza. And there's also one in his default photo, his Instagram photo. It's a completely stock car. If that's all he has, kind of. Can you get that much exposure with that stock car? I don't. Well, with that car in general, I'm guessing not, because he doesn't really. I mean, he could be a car enthusiast, but I don't know. Maybe hit us back up a little bit later into the project. Yeah, like do a couple more things to it. You know.
It's not just about the car, though. And then, like, it's about what you're doing.
Right.
But you'll find that there is a correlation. There's a correlation between cars that actually have some sense of them and doing more things. Because you can go to the racetrack and race your car if it's going stock most of the time.
Right.
Don't go to a show if your car is going stock most of the time. You don't have an Instagram following for your car if your car is going stock most of the time. So you don't need to have, this crazy built non-stock car. But I think for everything else that we provide, you need the package that we consider you for sponsorship.
The stock car isn't very ideal for this kind of scenario. Right.
And the next is that we did sponsor stock cars. So it's about, it's kind of like if there's a triangle of perfection there, right? One side is following, the other side is filling, and the other side is, something else. Or it's about having, being able to win a total package. So you may not be as proficient on the mod side, but then you might have other parts of your project that have a lot of following. Or have
right.
And then you start to even out. No
build plan, no.
Right.
Yeah. The last one is I'm not gonna say which group, but this person is asking if we'd be interested in sponsoring their group, and sponsoring the club. How would that work? Would you sponsor the whole club? Would you sponsor one person in the club? I mean, does it depend on the club and what they can offer?
I think whenever they do these things, we've had this for years. Before there was even social media, we had this. So like,
yeah.
People would write in and be like, oh, I have who's going through a fuck. Well, it's hard, man. What does that mean? It's the same deal. Like, where's the exposure, you know, come in there?
From sponsoring the club.
Yeah, just, I mean, we do not want to do anything where we're just going to try to be able to give discounts to the 17 members of your club.
Right.
And not because we wouldn't like to sell a 17 set of wheels to your club. We don't do a first step. Like,
right.
So when you take out that aspect, you know, what are we now getting back from that club? Where's the exposure part of that club? I think sponsoring a club on a blanket statement is very difficult because when you have a club, you may have some cards that are really deserving of a sponsorship and other cards that are not really. And then you're kind of saying, well, can you sponsor everybody in the group because they're affiliated with the club?
Right.
So I just think it's very difficult. And I would say, generally, we probably won't sponsor a whole club at one time, but there may be an organization or a pitch that happens, you know, like, for example, like, let's say, you know, US Direct or Grid Life, they may come to us and say, can you put together some sort of thing for our Gold Pass members or something where it's very, very specific and it's about a group and there's a member list and, you know, they're serving a function and can't change, they're going to give us exposure for this, and that might happen.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like I said, most of them were sponsor me. Some of the other ones, if we answered every single one of them, we would just be reiterating the same thing over and over again. But I think that's it. I think we got a pretty good understanding of how to get a sponsorship and what people need to do, what they need to have, and what they're willing to offer us.
Right.
So I think that's pretty much it.
Things into the comments below. I don't know what we really can say, you know, so don't say that.
Yeah.
But if you have legitimate questions,
if there's anything that we didn't answer or you feel you'd like to go a little bit more in depth about, then they can comment below and holler at us.
Yeah, and like I said, it doesn't have to be for Koenig. It could be for something else, it could be for another industry, it could be
just general sponsorship questions, you know. Right.
We'll do maybe a special piece of content, a video, maybe another podcast about it. I'm not sure. But feel free to comment below. I hope this wasn't an attempt to bash or hurt anybody or disclaimer, you know, anything. This was really just kind of, we hope that there's some value here and some real information that if you think about it logically, will really help some of you get sponsorships that deserve them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. I mean, I guess we should kind of probably reiterate some of the stuff we started in the beginning. So, guys, do not forget we're doing a wheel giveaway. So go to, what is it, koenigwheels.com/subscribe. Yeah, I got it. I remember it this time. Didn't remember the last time. And our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. And yes. Oh, my gosh. I almost forgot about that, too. I just mentioned that. I do like four of them. Fitment Industries. We'll link both of those down below. So guys, hurry up. Make sure you get that done for Fitment Industries. It's not as big of a rush for ours, but end of August. Of September. Very cool. And what should we do about the Roadster stuff? Where should they comment? Comment below. We may or may not do one or two Instagram things asking people's opinion. Throw a little snippet on there. But comment below what you think should be done to the Roadster. And if you have any parts you wanna throw in on this, we're doing a budget build, you know. So I think that's pretty much it. Every Wednesday. Yeah.
For more information on the podcast, go over to koenigwheels.com/podcast. Make sure you check out, we have some other things. We have a formula drift one. We have our
Yeah, and we're going to be dropping some more videos soon. We have some stuff in the pipeline, so make sure you subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Bye.